talk to me, damn it, or else I'm gonna throw you in the fire!
You like scary movies?
Ghost story and horror film addict.
Ooh, scary movie.
Welcome to Spooky Night with your favorite uncle and host, Alexis Chainsaw Massacre.
Hey y'all, welcome to Boogie Nights. This is your host Alexis Chainsaw Massacre, and I am so fucking stoked to be talking to you guys today. There is a movie that I've been wanting to talk about for about 3 weeks now, but you know, get shit going on and hasn't happened yet. But I have my Ghostface shirt on, and yes, I wore it yesterday. No, I didn't shower today. My form of Sunday self-care is generally not showering. Fuck hygiene. I ain't all about that. But, so today we're going to talk about Scream, which is my favorite horror movie franchise. It's, all of them are solid. I mean, there's some that are better than others, but I fucking love Scream. And when I say we, you guessed it, Bizarro is back in the house.
Hello, everyone. I live here.
We live here with, I just thought of Bob's Burgers. We're here and we're queer, but not entirely. Oh, but yeah, we saw Scream 6 the opening night.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago now at this point.
Yeah, we had good intentions to do this a couple different times, but here we are. We just had a victory in baseball.
Absolutely.
So that's tits. So here we are. We're sponsored tonight by Fatheads Brewery. No, we're not. But if you want to sponsor me, that'd be fucking awesome. But we're drinking Hippie Slippies, which, oh my God, you guys, they are so...
10 out of 10.
Yeah. It's a nice stout, which that's our favorite generally. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are about the IPAs. You know what? And actually, I was thinking about that earlier about it'd be kind of fun to pair this podcast with a certain beer. But then I'm like, oh, that's a lot of work.
Work worth doing.
You know what? Actually, yeah, to go to the beer store and be like, this would pair well with this podcast. Does Hippie Slippy pair well with Scream?
Yes, sure.
Sure. Anything could pair well with anything if you want.
Hippie Slippy pairs well with life.
Right?
Good stuff.
So, yes, today we're going to talk to you guys about Scream 6, which I've loved everyone in the franchise, and I'll give my order at some point. Arlo, I don't know if you have an order.
I probably don't.
Okay.
I might have to think about that.
There's a lot of thought that goes into it, and as always, no spoilers, although I'm going to tell you guys right now, this one is really hard not to spoil because there's a lot of Easter eggs in this movie.
Yeah, and she's probably better at that than I am.
So, just a little premise. This is one that I actually didn't see any trailers or anything for prior to the movie, which I was grateful for because one thing I'm really starting to get concerned about is with Evil Dead Rises.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing so many trailers. And also, Rachel, shout out to you, Rachel, if you're listening. We were talking about why is Evil Dead not coming out on Easter Sunday? The Lord has risen and so is the Evil Dead. That'd be poetic as fuck. But they're not doing it. Anyway, I digress. I go down many rabbit holes. If you guys ever have the energy and the time, I'll talk to you about anything. But so Scream 6 didn't see any trailers going into it. I don't know about you. Did you feel like this movie was more hyped than the fifth one?
I would say no. I was surprised that there was a sixth one coming out when it did. To be honest, I was kind of blindsided. Because I felt like Scream 5 did have a lot behind it, you know?
It did.
Because it was the resurgence, you know? Like it was.
Yeah, So, back when I was painting the basement last year and I was hopped up on paint fumes and
right,
listening to a lot of podcasts and shit, Morbid, they had interviewed the director, and I think David Arquette was on the scene, and talking about how there will be a Scream 6, there will be as many as we feel like making.
Because it's a new creative team or whatever.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot to be said for that. I was skeptical going into this new set of Scream because it's not Wes Craven. I mean, come on. How? Guys, okay. We got Scream, we have Nightmare on Elm Street, we have Hills Have Eyes, Serpent in the Rainbow. Like, the list goes on, and they're, you know, not all Wes Craven movies are created equal. However, pretty solid
director.
He's
one of those pillars in the genre.
Yes. So, I was definitely skeptical going into the new Scream series, but am I going to watch it? Hell yeah, I watch anything. I don't care.
I think Scream's all about slasher fun.
Yeah. And last night, we watched Scary Movie with a couple friends, which I'm here to tell you guys, pairs like a fine wine with the first Scream. I recommend doing a back-to-back if you can.
It pairs well with Arbor Mist.
Some shitty wine and some pizza.
Yeah, but it's fun.
I'll tell you what. Like, that movie makes me laugh just as hard every time. But we're not here to talk about Scary Movie.
We're not. No.
We're here to talk about Scream 6. So, just a little premise. Just a little... God damn it, this dog is just barking at everything. So you guys might hear that, and I'm sorry. And I really hope we don't have any technical difficulties today. But so Scream 6, it starts off after the fifth one. Oh, shocker. but so it's post the fifth one. I think we have to kind of spoil the fifth one to make a point for this. Okay, so after the fifth one, you know, the sisters, Samantha and Tara, were heavily fucked with. And Samantha is Billy Loomis's bastard child.
Basically, yeah.
And yeah. I had heard somebody say on some podcast about him being CGI'd in there. I'm like, no, that's Skeet Ulrich.
I think just, you know, because he is CGI'd in there because he's, you know, to make him look like a ghost. But it's not like...
But it's not like completely...
It's not... whatever.
He still looks old.
It's not like AI Tom Hanks into like some... Right. You know, like... It's... He does perform for that movie.
Yeah, it's not just like what they did with fucking what's her name in Star Wars,
like the Leia stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
where she's just floating through space and they use her fucking hologram or whatever.
Yeah, it's no Tupac concert.
It's no Tupac concert. He is alive and well.
2023, going to see Tupac or nothing.
But. Right. As far as I know, Skeet Ulrich is very much alive. Now, he does make appearances once again. That's not a spoiler alert because he's within the casting credits. So it's the two sisters. And it's the aftermath of what happened in the fifth one. So they move from Woodsboro to New York. And Tara's in college and living her best life. And Samantha's very overprotective and calling her out for not dealing with her trauma. And she's like, I'm fine. I'm living my life.
Just want to be a college kid. You know,
yeah.
Doing her thing.
And then Jamie Kennedy's two, the niece and nephew also come along. What do they refer to themselves as? Do you remember?
Ooh.
The Core Four.
They eventually break. Yeah.
Yeah.
They, you know, they realize that's sort of
crazy. And Jamie Kennedy's nephew lands on that, and they're all like, this is lame as fuck. But then they're like, nah, that's what they are.
We're going to stick with it.
So they try to stick together. And so things seem okay for a little while. The two sisters are living with this chick named Quinn, I do believe. And then Ghostface comes back.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. I'm sure you probably saw that coming. And once again, they have to establish rules. And everyone is a suspect, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Which
and
is fun.
Yeah. But my favorite character in this movie, I don't remember his actual name, but I coined him as Uncle Joey. He's the Guido that lives across the apartment complex.
The older sister's piece of ass.
Yeah. They're fucking, but he's not a slime bag. He's like, oh yeah, I guess I am a suspect. That makes total sense. I respect your boundaries.
Which, of course, makes you suspect him more.
Yeah! You're like, did he do it? And this
but
is...
That's telegraphing it too much. You know it can't be that.
Right. But, so, he could be, like, a hidden cast member of the Jersey Shore. But actually, he's a lot better than them. He's a lot nicer. But he's got that Guido energy.
He does.
Jim Tan Laundry, repeat. Like, right. Which, by the way, you guys, I don't know if I've ever said this on here. I love the Jersey Shore. I love shitty reality TV. We've really gotten deep into the 90 Day Fiancé universe, so that's another pastime. I would podcast about that easily. Oh my god.
It's a whole different thing.
It's not having anything to do with horror, although it is sometimes horrible.
Often.
But, yeah, so Uncle Joey, he's Samantha's boyfriend that they find out that, yeah, they're fucking... Like, you know, good for her. She's been through a lot. And then, like, finding out, like, her in the fifth one, her boyfriend was one of the killers.
Right, yeah.
So, she deserves an Uncle Joey type of character to be fucking.
Yeah, so, like, you understand why she's there with Tara at college. You know, like, she still can't let go, you know, because she's seen all this happen to...
And at the beginning of the movie, she's going to therapy and... the psychiatrist, hey, I kind of liked killing that guy, but I'm not going to kill more people. And he's like, we're done.
Yeah, it traumatizes the psychiatrist.
We're done. So she's doing that. Meanwhile, Tara's not appearing to be dealing with it all until they have to deal with it again. Now, this is also a spoiler if you haven't seen the fifth one, because they alluded to it. Kirby... from Scream 4 is back.
In a big way.
Yeah, she's an FBI agent that has taken a special interest in the Woodsboro cases.
As of course she would.
Yes, and I'm all here for that. I do think that Hayden Panettiere got a fair amount of plastic surgery because her face wasn't moving like it was in the fourth movie. But, hey.
Yeah, right.
You know, you can always be a... have you remember the Titan's face for whatever. Granted, she's also probably like 5 years old in that movie. But. So, Kirby is along the whole scenario. Yeah. So, she's there. That's exciting. Gail Weathers, of course, is around.
Of course. Of course.
And
this isn't the one.
No.
This isn't the one.
No. But Gail, you know, she continues to be a pain in the ass. I don't know how else to put it. And this whole movie very much mirrors Scream 2 in a way. And it even pays an homage to the first one where one of the sisters goes to punch Gail and she ducks. She's like, no, I've been here before. But then the other sister slugs her. But the second one is definitely mirroring Scream 2 a lot. And, you know, Jamie Kennedy's niece and nephew are very intelligent. They're very...
aware of what, you know...
Yeah.
You know, almost the lineage they came from.
They're hip to the, the horror genre and the rules. Yeah. Absolutely. So... sorry, I had to grab a drink of my hippie slippy. But so that's the basic premise of the movie. Now, that's, I feel like, all we can really say without ruining too much. How do we feel about it?
For me, like most, like I enjoy the Scream films. I always feel a little let down by the killer reveal.
Uh-huh.
For all of them, that, you know, that because that gets built up so much. But I think it makes up for it in other ways. You know, the opening scene for one that we won't spoil, but slaps. It's great.
It's bossing, as you can say.
Yeah. I guess that's what they say.
Yeah, the opening scene.
I mean, you kind of know what you're going to get with a Scream film, but you want it to be different and fun, and I think they did that.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, they do the same thing, but still keep it relevant and interesting. And for that...
like, you give them liberties.
Yeah.
To, you know, because you also want kind of the same thing.
By the way, I'm sorry for the burp that I just made. I'm a dumpster child, so you're going to get it. I don't give a shit. There might be farts coming, too. I can't guarantee... But, yeah, I agree with that. And I don't understand why this dog is barking. My God. It's so distracting.
I feel like we could probably hear it way more than
it's probably across. True, but it's just... I'm sorry, guys. You say squirrel and I'm going to fucking look. But, yeah, the Scream franchise keeps it relevant. It keeps it fresh. This was definitely the goriest Scream.
Yeah, it was. It was, and they're all bloody. They're all knifey.
Yeah, there's knives.
You know, I mean, like, that's that's the MO. But this was a gorier.
Yeah. Movie so sure. The opening scene was legit. I forget the actress's name. It's the chick from The Babysitter and Ready or Not, which I love Ready or Not.
Oh, I don't remember that.
That was the one where the chick is marrying into this family and has to play this game.
Oh, kind of an aristocratic.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, Ready or Not is legit. The Babysitter I didn't care for. I want to watch it again, though. Just because it's definitely, like, real tongue-in-cheek and, like, is aware that it's not trying to take itself seriously and it's funny, but it almost goes too much into that. And I was, it just felt forceful to me, but
yeah.
I always watch it twice. So I will watch, I haven't watched the second one. So she's in the beginning and the opening scene actually,
I mean, these are spoilers now. Now we're touching on
that an actress is in it.
No, but I'm not sure what you're, I'm forecasting what you're about to
oh,
say.
Oh no, what I was about to say was that every opening move, like every opening scene still continues to stay fresh. The one that sticks out to me is Scream 4 when they keep...
Oh, like, it's a movie and a movie and a movie.
Yeah.
And even Scream 5, just for Tara, right? Jenna Ortega's character, to be the first one attacked and then live.
Yeah.
And be the one that, you know, and the new Sydney-ish, you know, like the new power... Like that, you know.
Yeah, they keep switching it up.
Yeah, I think it's fun.
Keep pulling me.
I think Scream is all for fun too.
It is, and I mean, people forget Scream is satirical, and it's very meta. It's always aware.
And even in that way, it's over the top.
Yeah,
like they joke about being meta.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a joke in itself.
I will say about the sixth one, I miss David Arquette. When Dewey got his last movie, and I said all along, I said, if they kill one of the three of them, that's fine, as long as it makes sense to the plot, they do it justice. And it did, but I will tell you guys what. I cried for the first time during a horror movie during Scream 5, and then the second time was Halloween Ends, but those were tears of rage.
Yeah.
So I won't even get into that. So twice in 1 year I cried during horror movies. But so I miss Dewey. I did. This movie did not have Sydney at all either. She was mentioned, and I think that speaks a lot too.
I like that. You know.
Yeah, because the sisters, I'm invested in them now.
And the last one was more of a bridge between. You know, maybe so like this was like handing it off, and now what is their last name? The sisters, though, you know, Tara and her sister.
I don't remember.
They're the new, you know, focus of this horror.
Yeah, I don't remember their last name. It probably has something to do with murder. No, I don't remember what. It's not Loomis, because I know. I just laughed and farted. It happens. Ooh. Anyway.
Ooh.
Sorry. it could be worse. I did poop before this podcast, so that took the edge off a little bit. But anyway, my bowel movements aside, it was a good time. Except, and actually we were talking about this last night with our friends, the killer's MOs get weaker and weaker, and this one got, like, straight up corny.
Yeah, but you know, sort of almost expect that, too.
Yeah, at this point, well, the last one, it was like, we're really big movie fans. I'm like, yeah, so am I, but I'm not fucking killing people, like... Yeah,
I mean, it's never gonna be, like... You know, earth-shattering.
No.
Unless it's Gale. Until...
Until it's Gale, and that's what we want. And that's what we've decided. Like, Gale is in her every goddamn right to fucking be the killer at this point. She lost the love of her life.
She's been as tormented as anyone.
Yeah, her career is shaky. And that's what the sisters were calling her out on. They're like, you said you'd never write a book. And she's like, well, that's until I lost money and I need money again. So, yeah, I'm... rooting for Gale, in the Scream fan community, and I saw a TikTok of Matthew Lillard at a horror convention, and people want Stu Mocker to be alive so badly, And he said, and it was vague on purpose, but it was really enjoyable. He said, I'm here right now, and right now, they're filming Scream 6.
Do your own investigation.
Right. And Joey brought it to my attention last night. I also didn't realize that they wanted Jamie Kennedy's character to be alive too. No, absolutely not. His death was, to me, in my mind, one of the most shocking in horror history. I'll never forget that.
There's no walking that back.
No.
He's the one that, you know, talks about doing everything right and being the one that gets to live, and he gets done in broad daylight.
And that's the whole thing about it. It's like, it's in broad daylight, it's unpredictable, and it slashes the rules.
Yeah.
And
it's got to stick.
So, and you have to think after a certain degree, like, what would Wes do? Wes is not resurrecting his old characters.
Just for fun.
Shits and gigs.
I don't know. And like, so like, I get, like, having Billy Loomis come back as, I don't know, an apparition or whatever.
Or a schizophrenic hallucination, whatever it is.
Yeah, so like that takes it in a different direction.
It does.
You know, but they don't, you know, I don't want Scream to become supernatural.
No. Right?
Like, that'd be that's fucked. Like, I wouldn't be about that at all.
No, because, like, so Arlo and I had been listening to Dexter, the audiobooks, because we're huge fans, and it's like getting Dexter that you've never seen on TV. Mm-hmm. There's one book, and I'm spoiling this if you haven't read it, that does go mystical and supernatural, and I'm like, that doesn't fit the bill here.
It just doesn't hit.
No.
And it's not the character that we are aware, you know, are fond of.
So, it, like,
the universe that we understand this character to be involved in.
Yeah, it's like, it'd be like if Scream all of a sudden had Godzilla and Mothra fucking duking it out in the middle. It's like, no, you don't do that. Like, excuse me. And, I mean, we're big fans of some creature features, but you have to stay in your lane to a degree.
Sure. Yeah, you can't add that halfway through.
Yeah.
Just be like, this is, you know.
So, is Stu involved? You'll have to watch and find out. I'm not going to spoil that. I'm just going to say, like, the whole killer thing, it's weak as fuck. It took away from the movie a bit, but it, all in all, I really enjoyed it. I really do recommend watching it, especially if you've watched other Screams. And
I did it. I really enjoyed it too. I don't go into, I'm not trying to analyze it too much. Take the ride and then take a pulse on how much I enjoyed it. You know.
Yeah.
Like, just watch it and enjoy it. I think it's worth it.
Like, and I think the thing too is, like, don't. The nice thing about not seeing trailers and stuff is I didn't have expectations. I just know I'm going to watch it. And that's kind of where I'm at with a lot of things. I'm going to watch all of it.
Well, I don't know. We're already movie fans, so you tell us that a movie is coming out, we're already excited about it. We don't need to see a trailer.
No.
And then the trailer just, it's inevitably, it ruins stuff.
It does.
Even if it's little stuff, it still tells you the things you know before you need to know.
And that's why I have such a love-hate relationship with trailers. Mm-hmm.
And MoviePass.
Yeah. Well, because we have, with Regal Cinemas, it's like $19 a month for unlimited movies. So we see stuff even if we're kind of lukewarm about it.
And it's great.
Yeah.
It's great, but because of that, we see
a lot of trailers that we don't necessarily want to see right now. I've seen way too many of Evil Dead.
I would say more often than not, it doesn't make me want to see movies.
Uh-uh.
It makes me, you know,
it makes me go, la, 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 right. La, la, la. Right.
I'll make my own choice.
I just realized that I was singing The Offspring while I had my ears plugged, and
I was so the only one that could see that, but it made perfect sense. It did make perfect sense.
My friend's got a girlfriend and I hate that bitch. Anyway, but in Renfield's another one that I'm, and actually when we were watching something earlier, there was another trailer and I purposely tuned it up.
Like with Evil Dead you were talking about earlier, but there's a lot of different trailers for those that keep adding, and then there are a couple of minute long trailers, which no need to spoil it.
So I am grateful for this movie that I didn't see any trailers or anything of that variety, and that made it feel fresh. And I think I need to just, when we go to see a movie, maybe we know that there's going to be 20 minutes worth of trailers, so maybe we just come late.
And we've started doing that a bit.
Yeah. You know, not always intentionally.
If we're not meeting someone, we do for ourselves.
Yeah, because Rachel and Corey, shout out, they get there fucking 2 hours early, so I don't want to keep them hanging. But, so that definitely helped. I would say definitely enjoyable. They're keeping this franchise relevant and fresh. It's still my favorite horror movie franchise, even though, like, I'm speaking of this thinking of Chucky in the back of my head, because I love all those, but there are some that are stronger than others. I'm also thinking of Leprechaun, and you guys are probably rolling your fucking eyes. Fuck you, I don't care. I love the Leprechaun series, but those have more B quality to them, though.
That's a different lane.
Yeah.
It is.
But, like, I'm thinking of, like, you know, the biggies. Like, Nightmare on Elm Street, they're not all created equal. Jason, they're not all created equal. Halloween, excuse me, they... With the Halloween series, one of my favorite ones, and it's so bad, I forget which one it is the one with Busta Rhymes, where they're, like, in a reality TV show set, and I always make this joke, and you might not find it funny, I don't care, but it makes me laugh. You know, when the DVDs for Star Wars came out, the big gripe with everybody was Anakin got CGI'd in the end of Return of the Jedi. Uh-huh. So my joke was that John Carpenter... CGI'd Busta Rhymes at the end of the first Halloween. So you know what you have to look forward to. And I would love if that actually happened. But, so the point I'm trying to make is that it's really kind of tough to find a horror franchise. Hellraiser is another one. I haven't seen most of them. I've only seen maybe the first three, but I've heard they get real dog shit towards the end.
It says a lot if one storyline can keep being remade. And you're talking about, you know, a franchise gets passed off between directors, it's different creative people. It's like, yeah, this whole, you know, like for anything to stand the test of time through that, like, changes.
Sure.
It's huge.
But you know what, though? The one thing I did notice, I'm almost positive, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure that Courtney Cox was a producer in this. And so I feel like, even though, like, production is more, you know, the money aspect, I would have to imagine, I don't know how the movie business works entirely, I would imagine, though, that if you're putting money towards a movie, you have some creative control. You have to.
You have control, whatever kind of control that might be. Money definitely gets power.
Yeah.
And it's not direct, but...
But you have a say.
If she's producing it, she's gonna get to be the character she wants to be. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, she's not gonna be Gail that...
Yeah, she's gonna be like, Mama didn't raise no bitch-ass Gail.
Yeah, if the storyline doesn't... Like, yeah, like, Dewey got his, like, she ought to get hers. She ought to just go full psycho.
Yeah, so... That's what remains to be seen, and that's why you have to watch this movie, What Happens to Gail Weathers, because it is interesting. And I think Rotten Tomatoes, last I looked, it was like 76% critics and pretty similar audience. I would say that's fair.
That, yeah. I mean, it's hard to read Rotten Tomatoes a lot of the time.
But. It is. But, so, I definitely check it out. It's actually, so our friends just saw it on Friday. It's been out for like 3 weeks now, and they said it was still a packed house. So, you know, it's still drawing crowds. It definitely go see it, give it a chance. If you have the opportunity, maybe marathon the other five. We had a rewatch. Well, we were kind of half paying attention, but we rewatched the fifth one and bought it. Excuse me. Isn't that sexy? Yeah, because the fifth one, I mean, I also, like, I had a lot of feels for the fifth one because the timing of it, one of our good friends had just passed away, and that was, like, one of the last conversations we had, or multiple conversations, yeah, was seeing that movie together, and right. I felt her there, and, like, so I have a special spot in my heart for the fifth one more than the sixth one. And I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
And the last movie we saw with her was Last Night in Soho, which that movie is tits if you guys haven't seen it. HBO Max, I'm pretty sure it's on. And I wouldn't even call that like a horror movie. It's more of like a thriller.
Oh, it's more of a like a Hitchcock kind of thriller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it's so good.
It's trippy.
So I'm gonna give my order. So this is kind of a Shrek 2 situation for me, where 1 and 2 are so close, but not quite the cigar. 1 is number 1, 2 is licking its asshole. It's right there.
Super close, right there.
It's right there, but it's not as quite as the first one. So for me, if I had to say, and Rachel initially told me, because my cop-out answer was, I love 5 and 6 for different reasons, apples and oranges. She's like, yeah, that is a puss-ass answer. So, here's for you, Rachel. You're getting fucking called out left and right today. I love you! And she's going to listen to this, too. She's like, girl, why do you know we're going to see Evil Dead? So, for me, it goes 1, 2, 5, 4, 6, 3. And 3 is the funniest one to me, but it is the weakest link. And
I'm not sure what is 3?
3 is the one where initially like Sydney is working for like a hotline.
Oh,
and she's living in the woods and shit, and then it's happening again. And then that's the one where I think it's like she has a stepbrother and that is the only one that has one killer. So there's that. 4 is Emma Roberts, her cousin, and then a body cop. I don't know.
Right.
It's Gail Weathers. No, I'm just kidding. So, yeah, that's where I stand. I don't know how you feel or what kind of call you can make.
I don't feel the need to rank them.
Okay. I am Arlo. Hear me roar. And you won't. So, I wouldn't say like I'm super confident in my footing there, but I'm going to... Just because 5 had a little more of a special situation. And plus, like, they paid so much homage to Wes Craven in that fifth movie.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They named the lady cops on Wes, and like, there's more to it than that, but that's all I can think of right now.
It all happened at the same farmhouse.
Yeah,
you know, like,
and that was tight.
Yeah, there was a lot of cool reveals, like in the fifth one.
Yeah, it felt to me like Neve Campbell knew it was her last one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, so I'm gonna do a big.
Oh, and it felt like a passing the torch.
Yeah.
Kind of,
with Indiana Jones, he tried to do that. It's like, we don't want Shia!
No one asked for this.
But then we just saw a trailer for the new Indiana Jones, and I didn't see any Shia, and it looks tits. So, we'll see, because Crystal Skull, you know, there's a lot of hatred towards that movie, and I haven't seen it since it came out.
Mm-hmm.
But I was into it up until the very end. And I'm like, because I was like, I fuck with the space race thing because it was the 50s.
Yeah.
And like,
it had a very, like, to me, like, a very Vanilla Sky ending. The movie is not sci-fi until the ending needs to wrap it up. Like, it just felt cheap.
Which I've never seen.
I did only see it the one time.
And so, I've never seen Vanilla Sky, but I've heard you talk, like, I've heard you reference it so much that I feel like I have to now.
We used to go see movies with Pops, like, on, you know, Custody, you know, Wednesday, you know. And, like, it was one that we went to see in, like, Pops loved it. Gus and I were like, this
"God
is
damn
garbage.
It.
Yeah. And it always stood out. It's like we always joked about it, you know,
right?
But it was one of those like, ah, yeah.
You know. And I know that wasn't in the age of smartphones, but if possible, your dad would have been in the theater being like, order that shit. I want the fucking director's cut, right. Bullshit, fucking Blu-ray 4K.
But also, Pops was the kind of guy that loved it more because we hated it.
he fed off of
you.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, do you think he... Look, so I know your dad loved Charmed. Do you think he would have loved... Did love Scream?
Oh, no. No, absolutely no. No, because he enjoyed Hitchcock and stuff, but definitely blood and gore was
not his thing.
The opposite of what he was into, yeah.
Yeah, which actually
thriller
I don't know
if, stuff, yeah. But.
I don't know if I told you I had seen that they're trying to remake Faces of Death, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because that was one of Arlo's early exposures to horror, and that's unfortunate because that's just smut.
It ruined everything.
Yeah, and that's the reason why his brother. And one of the things that was also very significant to me about watching Scream 5 is that is the first and only movie I've seen with your brother in the theaters.
Oh. Goose does not like horror movies, and it's understandable. Like, and I did as a kid, but then really got messed up.
Yeah.
You know? Well, and then...
They were playing that shit when we went to the Museum of Death in L.A., and it's... No, fuck that. And that's like... One movie that I hear about over and over on TikTok is a Serbian film. I purposely won't watch it because I don't want to watch something just for the sake of it being disturbing. It has to be relevant or else, like...
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like to feel like I'm watching a smut film.
Yeah, I don't want to watch fucking torture porn. We went through that already in the early 2000s. And there, post 9/11 was a rough era for horror. It was like Saw, Hostel.
I mean,
like,
you've got me back into horror. I did enjoy it as a younger guy, you know, but then didn't. But now there's a lot to get back into.
Yeah, and
from my perspective.
So, yeah, and I was gonna say I think we're gonna cut this off because I'm feeling the need to piss and shit.
Yeah, I got
pretty
pee.
Bad.
I got pee.
any last words before we cut off?
Yeah, go check it out.
Scream,
I promise it's worth it.
Sponsored
if you
by,
listen to this podcast, you'll like Scream.
Yeah. Sponsored by Fatheads, but we're not. But please, Fatheads, if you want to come in, I really do support your beers. But why do you keep putting so many IPAs in the stores? It's not my jam.
But hippy sippy.
All right, guys. Love y'all. Stay
spooky.
Peace.
Peace, bitch.